Today's the first day of the Christmas Marathon, Prabhupada Marathon, and all the best to those devotees taking a full-time part in the marathon. May Lord Chaitanya shower his mercy on you in facilitating your desire to distribute many, many books. His blessings are certainly going to be there, and that devotees will be able to go back home, back to Godhead, just by this activity alone. What more can be said? And for those devotees who can't go out full time, I hope that you can make an effort to just go out sometime, perhaps on the weekend, a few days, or at least a few hours, and at least a day on the marathon, in order to perform the tapasya that we don't necessarily like to do or want to do, in order to get a little taste of what it really means to give Krishna consciousness to people in the way that Srila Prabhupada favored the most through distributing books, in order to appreciate what sanctified devotees who are doing this full time, day in, day out, year in, year out, what they're actually experiencing, and to therefore appreciate them. They may appear to be like ordinary devotees, but will experience that their austerity is not ordinary, and that's why we give them special recognition. That's why we have a Christmas marathon festival to honor those Vaishnavas. It's not an ordinary thing. So I want to mention some names as I did last year, but please, you all, try to go out and this way bring smile to Srila Prabhupada's heart and face. I'll be doing my own marathon, not distributing, but writing books. I'll be writing Navabraja Mahima already for about a week. Even while I was in Yuvajudam, I was writing from morning at that time till 8 a.m. Now I'm writing till 10, and I hope to be able to increase that up till around noon. That gives me around 6 to 8 hours of writing. And when things are going apace, then that can mean about 5 to 6 pages a day. When they're not, it could mean a paragraph. But hopefully that should put me up to another 200 pages between now and the end of the year. And I don't know just exactly what that will mean in terms of the completion of the book. My suspicion is that it will not be completed. That it will take more writing than that. But let's see what Radhe Shyam desire. So please give me your blessings and support for that. The artwork is really going well. We're back to, I don't know if I'd mentioned that before, we're going back to the original design, which is a large format book with very nice drawings, almost picture-like quality drawings, and a very deluxe publication. I think that will be quite pleasing to devotees. Another quick mention is that if you look at the Braja Project, many of the projects are going, to the best of my knowledge now, 8 have already been spoken for. That leaves another 6. So please get in there and sponsor these places to help manifest the visual aspect of New Brajadam as a holy place of pilgrimage. Another thing before I go on to today's question is that at the latest Gopastami festival, we had all of our new cows again sponsored indefinitely. However, last year Bhakta Chris sponsored all of the bulls on the farm, and I can't remember how much that is, but it's many. It's like 12 or something like that. or even more. But that was for the period of a year. So devotees who would like to sponsor the care of our fathers on New Bajradam who are working to till the soil, cart wood, cart away garbage, and do many services, please write in and let me know. Okay, now for today's question. P.V. Das, I don't know where he's writing from, but this was on November the 23rd on the podcast. He asked, should waking up early in the morning and such basic austerities to call them be forced upon sincere but weak devotees? Well, let me begin by saying that in Krishna consciousness, there is no question of forcing anything upon anyone. Sometimes we use this word that devotees are forced, but there is no force, question of force. Devotees make commitments to different standards of Krishna consciousness, and when they make commitments, then it should be understood that they are expected to live up to those commitments. Sometimes we understand that expectation to be force. But even when the expectation is there, if someone doesn't want to fulfill that expectation, what can you do? Krishna isn't forcing anyone, so no one can really force anyone. Say, for example, someone decides to engage in volunteer service full-time in a temple, moves into a temple. That means that he's agreeing to rise at 4 a.m. or earlier in the morning to chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, attend the morning program. That expectation is reasonable because that's what temple life is about. And devotees should not call that expectation force. If they can't make that commitment, then they shouldn't. In other words, then they shouldn't move into the temple do voluntary service full time, but rather they can do voluntary service from a position of being a congregation member, a supporter, and render service in a way where that same type of expectation will not be made of them. But even if someone is in the temple, still he won't be forced to come to the morning program or rise early in the morning. But if he can't, he may be a sincere devotee, but as it's stated here in the question, he's a weak devotee. If he can't, then he'll be asked to leave. And once again, that's not force, but it's just the other side of the commitment. You sign a contract, then both sides of the party are obliged to fulfill their obligation to that contract. And if someone doesn't, then there are always stipulations what happens. So naturally, if you can't keep your part of the bargain, then you shouldn't get the benefit of the contract, which in this case would mean rendering full-time service and living in the temple. Then you'll be kindly asked, well, Prabhuji, if you can't rise in the morning and haven't been able to do so for so many times over so many months, then why don't you practice Krishna consciousness outside and rise at a time that's convenient to you when you can. Therefore here, devotees should know what it is that they're capable of doing, not in the short term, but in the long run. And they should make commitments accordingly in Krishna consciousness, like initiation. Devotees vow to follow four regulative principles. Say, for example, a devotee is not able to refrain from intoxication. So once he takes initiation and he engages in intoxication, then it's only natural that he shouldn't be allowed to perform those type of services that initiated devotees, particularly brahmanas, would do. So he then loses his prerogative. It may even be that if he's incorrigible, that the spiritual master may, and perhaps rather than may, but should, he should withdraw from him the brahminical initiation, if he's brahminically initiated, which once again isn't an issue of force, but it's an issue of a agreement. It's a commitment that someone has made. If he's not able to live up to the commitment, he can't expect to have the best of both worlds. I don't have to make my commitment, but I still wear a Brahmin thread and chant Gayatri. No. Then you should be honest and understand and admit that I can't live up to the Brahminical standard, therefore why should I live as a Brahmin? And a final word about rising early in the morning. Yes, rising early is an austerity. Tapo divyam, you hear me quoting that so often. Tapasya is there. Without some type of tapasya, there's no question of spiritual life. And rising early is a minimum tapasya the devotees should learn. At least by 4 o'clock in the morning, devotees should rise. And early rising is not only a matter of an austerity, that I'm performing some type of austerity to enrich my spiritual life, but it's actually a necessity for practicing spiritual life. By that I mean to say that when you rise early, the day's already started. In the temple, services have started. In the outside world, work has already started. Therefore, it will not be possible for a devotee to chant quality rounds, to concentrate on doing Guru Puja, to put aside little time for reading. And without doing those things, he will not make spiritual advancement. Just going through one's rounds, never really dwelling into Shastra, or performing a minimal morning program, means that one's advancement will really, really be slow, to say the most, or to say the least. So yes, early rising should be there, and weak and not weak. If you don't rise early in the morning, you'll only get weaker. You're not going to get strong. So it's a type of self-discipline that one should practice, and considering that the least intelligent of animals, such as roosters, birds, and so on, rise early in the morning, we as intelligent, advanced human beings should also. It's a matter of getting to sleep on time, making sure that we're sufficiently rested, and if necessary, taking a power nap during the day, as they call it, Hare Krishna.